Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to our world.
All right, we got a few things to talk about today. First, students at the Lawrence College in New York are now demanding free housing and free meals. Why?
Because all that stuff grows on trees.
That's why. Oh, and because if you don't, you're racist, apparently.
Yes, of course.
Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez recorded herself struggling to assemble IKEA furniture early this week. Someone forgot to tell her IKEA is a product of capitalism. Burger King is moving into the vegetarian market. Meat-free burgers coming soon. And finally, the crisis at the border is reaching a boiling point. Another 20,000 are making their long journey and will be arriving at the border in the next few weeks. All right, that and much more on this episode of The Salty Show. All right, Ray. What's going on in the crazy Ray Chronicles?
All right, let's take it away in weird news.
Yes, sir.
Alrighty, so I'm going to start it off with the most mildest of my stories. Prince Harry wants Fortnite banned.
Just all together?
Just all together.
Just all together?
Ban it.
Can he do that?
No, he can't.
I don't know. He is the Duke of Sussex, whatever the heck that
means. Well, I mean, he may be able to pull it off in Sussex.
So his reasoning is... basically, they're stating that mental health experts about addictive games and social media are saying that the latter is more addictive than drugs and alcohol. So they're basically stating that like video game addiction is like a real thing and that it's basically going to end up being like a crisis at some point. And so...
Okay, but when he says ban, what does he mean? Where is he banning it from?
He says the game should not be allowed to be like...
played?
Yeah. A thing.
Wow. That's crazy.
For
somebody to think that by banning something like this, you're going to get results that you want.
Well, I mean,
you see what I'm saying?
We ban stuff all the time that works great,
exactly.
Right?
Thank you. I know. There you go.
Basically, it says that there's something called a gaming disorder is anticipated to pass in addition to the International Classification of Diseases at next month's World Health Assembly.
So they're coming at it from the medical side of it,
yes.
Not the, hey, parents, don't be bad parents kind of approach.
Absolutely. But okay. If you're going to look at it that way, like there's a lot of things that are physically addictive as opposed to emotionally addictive, that like alcohol. If people quit alcohol, they're going to die.
This is one of those things is he's got good intentions, right? He means well.
Sure.
You know, who wants to see somebody addicted to something and waste their life away, right? I get it. But, homie, it's going to have bad results because where does it end?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to start banning movies. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they're bad influence. They're going to start banning this. And it's like, where does it end? People should be accountable for their actions. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Anyway.
But also, what about like all the people that they make a living off of playing that? Like there's Twitch streamers that literally all they do is play Fortnite or whatever, and they literally survive from it. So is it really an addiction? If
video
it's
game playing part of the NCAA? Don't they have like collegiate level athletes with quotes?
Yeah.
That play video games for the schools and mm-hmm. they compete? So,
yeah.
I mean,
it's crazy.
It's a legitimate... Well, it's, I don't know if I'd say legitimate, but it is a sport.
On some level.
Yeah.
The other one that I have is Argentinian police for 2 weeks have spent looking for Bigfoot after an eyewitness reported it. Don't like the way that was worded.
I hope they find it.
So somebody says, I saw
Bigfoot.
Like, get him.
Yeah. Send out the cops.
Let's go.
Send out the choppers.
Send the cavalry.
Don't even get the ubiquitous fuzzy picture of him walking.
There's no picture. It was just reports.
Oh, wow.
So it says, in the description, it says that they, an eyewitness reports that they observed a big black monkey. The police began an active search for this creature. They stated that it was about 180 centimeters tall, which I'm not entirely sure as to what that is in inches. One eyewitness in particular said that he saw how the creature easily jumped over a high fence with barbed wire. He also added that he has seen such incredible jumps only at like with Olympic athletes. When the reports reached the environmental police, first they decided that either a gorilla or some type of large monkey escaped from a private zoo that was there. But when traces of the creature were found at some countryside, they turned out to be completely different. So the footprints were either of a chimpanzee or gorilla in shape. They looked more like human feet, only in larger size.
Wait, so
72 inches. So that's like 6 feet tall, roughly. So that's not super tall for a big foot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a medium foot.
Yeah.
An average
exactly,
foot, right?
An average.
Yeah.
It could have been a guy dressed in a suit. Wait, so what's this evidence? So, like, you said they found footprints?
Literally, they found a footprint. So, like...
They found a footprint and someone
footprint,
said...
even then, it's, like, suspect.
Yeah, okay.
But it's weird that, like...
Do you know who it was? Ooh. It was the ghost of Harambe.
Harambe.
No, but it literally, like, the craziest thing is, like, this looks like just a normal human footprint. Like, it could just be...
It was only one person that made this report, though?
Multiple people.
It was multiple,
okay. Multiple people that made this report.
Right. Send in an airstrike. Yeah. Let's get it over with.
So because they were able to find traces of it, that's why they put so much effort into trying to find it. But according to them, such a large creature should be able to easily attack and maim children or adults is the main reason.
Right.
So
you
why
said this
they
was
were.
In Argentina?
Yeah.
Where do you normally hear Bigfoot stories from? It's not usually
Humboldt.
South America, is it?
It's no. always like Humboldt, Oregon, Washington. What right. is that? North?
The Northwest?
Northwest.
Pacific Northwest?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's generally where you hear about it.
Maybe he's on vacation.
That's
we don't
what
know.
I was going to say.
He's cruising it.
He's migrating.
Living his dream.
He got a Princess Cruise trip down there, and now he's living large. I don't know. That's...
I'm still waiting for the photograph, man.
Yeah, they're all fuzzy.
I'm tired of the grainy one.
In a world full of people with cameras in all their pockets, why haven't we not seen a picture of this yet, right? Or at least a semi-clear picture. We've seen lots of sketchy ones.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
All right, so the last one is probably my favorite. Local man sues Hampton Inn, says that the manager tried to force him to be spiritually cleansed.
All right.
Wait, what?
Good old fucking Hampton Inns in Kentucky.
What is Hampton Inns
in Kentucky? All right.
So they got tired of the, just the Bible or the...
No,
the Bible in the drawer wasn't enough. They wanted you to read it to him.
Wow. So Jason Fields, this guy that used to work there, filed a lawsuit last week against them. Against the, I guess the hotel managers who they ended up suing.
So he used to work for them.
He used to work them. So he claims when he was hired, Lyndon found out as he was going through a divorce and told him that the reason for his marriage problems was basically that he had demons. He allegedly told Fields that he had to be cleansed and if he was to work for her and described it as similar to an exorcism. According to the lawsuit, Lyndon gave Fields a packet to fill out. The packet included 9 pages of questions, many of which were personal and irrelevant to the job. So mostly like, what is your church background? Blah, 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 all this other stuff. Fields said that he had to complete the questionnaire and meet Lyndon at her church to be cleansed. Under pressure and waiting to keep his job or wanting to keep his job, he filled out the form, but then refused to give it to his boss or participate in a cleansing or exorcism. He said he was threatened to be fired after not going through with it.
Does he have demons?
The real question.
Right?
Do demons cause divorces?
We all have demons. I mean, come on.
All right. So he was an employee.
He was an employee. And the manager basically was like, look, like you're getting divorced. Therefore,
you need
you're possessed by a demon. You need Jesus. You need to fill out this packet. And it literally says, were you conceived out of wedlock? Were you a planned child? Briefly explain your conversation and experience with your church background. Have you ever visited heathen temples?
Wow.
Which I'm not sure what that would entail. So is that like a satanic temple?
Yeah, non-Christian.
Oh, you know. Just non-Christian.
Yeah,
oh.
Strip club.
Ladies night.
Exactly. Because that might be the reason why.
There used to be a club out here called Sanctuary. Do you remember that place?
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, there used to be a club out there. I don't even know. I think it was in Scottsdale. It was called Sanctuary,
yeah, I
right?
So. I think so.
Oh, my God.
Ladies' night.
So I was thinking of the one that they had one called the Monastery, too.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't right. A nightclub, though. It was more like Salty Senoritas out on an Arrowhead used to be a monastery.
Yep. Bring your own burger.
I do know.
Cook your own burger. Yeah,
I remember that.
There's one here called Band-Aids, which I find rather unfortunate for a name. Because I was just thinking of the Band-Aid at the bottom of a pool. Don't know why.
Whoa, what? When you hear the word Band-Aid, do you think
Band-Aid.
Of a Band-Aid at the bottom of a pool?
I think blood, and that's not something I want to be thinking about when I...
Okay.
Another anyway. Struggle. One of the other questions was, do you have any witches, such as...
Like sandwiches?
Sandwich, yeah.
Such as good luck kitchen witches in your home.
Good luck kitchen witches?
Good luck what kitchen witches. Heck?
Oh, we need to put that on our Amazon page.
Yeah, you
a
know.
A good luck kitchen witch.
I mean, it'll make your cooking better, maybe.
Gotta see how much that sells for.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
God. So this one was really interesting to me because I was just like, people in this day and age, like, do they really believe that like exorcism and like possession are still a thing, or is it
still movies being made? Still movies being made.
Are they still making movies about exorcism?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was kind of cool. Well, not cool, but
you thought it was cool.
I thought it was cool. Like the witches thing. I'm like my great 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 whatever grandmother was killed in the Salem witch trials.
Really?
Yeah. So then I wonder, like, what if that's the case? Like, is all of us letting?
I can see that. I can see that.
I know, right? It's all coming together. But enough with the Rachel news. Hey. Take it away, Jeremy.
Jeremy, what do you got? Right. You got some interesting topics for us this week.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I hope we can get a conversation going on this. So St. Lawrence College is, I guess they kind of pride themselves on being a very liberal and progressive college. Mm-hmm. And apparently the students a couple weeks ago listed demands that they want the college to supply for them, right? And they broke it down into this whole list, right? So Sarah Lawrence must commit to actualizing the values that housing is a human right. The college must provide winter housing for students at no charge.
Why are they demanding this?
Because they feel that housing is a human right.
I know that there was some mention about minorities, right? I think people who are in situations where they can't afford it.
Low income.
Or the downtrodden. So they're making a case for people who are in need of this. But however, so if it's a human right, how come
not paying for my house?
Exactly.
Right.
And or where does it end?
It doesn't. that's the problem with a progressive movement, right? Mm-hmm. When they start, I'm assuming when they start out, there's a good goal, right? Mm-hmm. We want to stop this problem. Well, when they finish stopping that problem, they can't stop progressing. We have to continue to progress. So they keep stretching and and you get to the point where you have goals like this, where now we're requiring schools, we're demanding that our schools give us free housing and free food pantries. They are also demanding that the housing with a minimum capacity of a third of the students of color. So they're requiring a third of the
thing is that housing is not free. Right.
My housing isn't free.
Food is not
free.
So then what happens? How do you get it? Somebody has to make that house.
Right.
Somebody has to work for free for you.
Correct.
Meaning that we are going to make people slaves so that what? So we could have free housing. How does that? You see what I'm saying? That there's something wrong with that logic.
Is it free if they're paying tuition? Are they paying a tuition?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of people are asking.
What I'm saying is it is a private university.
So right? I guess what Sarah Lawrence can do is say, okay, well, if, you know, normally our tuition is $60,000 a year, but if we're going to do this, now it's $100,000 a year to cover those costs.
Right.
But, you know, they're going to complain about that.
If they want to include that in the price of the college, then that's their.
Right, that's a private university. They can do whatever they want.
That's what I'm saying. It's a private university. Right. So, you know, the cost is normally higher on a private university.
Right. But, you know, the question is where does this attitude come that the students feel as though the school should be supplying that?
It
makes me wonder how many of the students that are going to the school are actually paying their own way. You know, how many of them are their parents paying? Right. So they grew up in a society or a household where everything was paid for, right? The kids come home from school and you give them snacks and you give them laundry, you know, you do their laundry, you give them a house, you give them a swimming pool to play in. You know, that's just the mentality they're coming into college with, never having any adversity in their lives.
If the school were to do that, then it would be putting them at a disadvantage because they're not learning about life. You don't get anything for free. You have to work for it.
What happens when you graduate from Sarah Lawrence and you go get a real world and you're like, well, wait a minute, you need to pay for my house. Right. On that house, that's too small. Right. I need a bigger house.
And I think that it's happening already. You know what I'm saying? Like they there's the eternal student. You know what I mean? Like there's people who stay in school for years and years and never leave. And once they're out in the real world,
it hurts.
And reality hits them. It's
hits
like,
them hard.
Oh, you're telling me I have to pay for my bills and I have to create a budget and this and that.
Why is my cell phone not work anymore? What do you mean I have to pay the bill? Yeah. I thought that just happened. Internet should be free. It's a human right.
Human right. There you go.
Oh, and one of the other things under the housing section, they demand all campus laundry rooms are to be supplied with detergent and softener.
Oh, of course.
For sure. In the coin machine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. In the coin machine.
Yes. Yeah. And so I guess basically, at least they're doing their own laundry, I guess. They didn't ask for someone, you know, someone in there doing their... Yeah, they want the dry cleaner.
Exactly.
Yeah, at least they didn't ask for that.
Yeah, why not a masseuse?
Well, then you wouldn't need the laundry room. You know,
just leave it in the corner of your room and somebody will come in and pick it up and he'll bring it back to, you know, a day later, fold it on hangers and you're good to go.
A dirty laundry bag isn't made out of silk, and this is unacceptable.
Exactly. It's rough on my hands when I put the clothes in.
Yeah, I just can't. One thing I thought was also weird was they put, like, they need to have pads, tampons, and detergent, where I'm like, yo, I still have to pay for that shit. Like, it's not free. Like,
is the only way to get to Sarah Lawrence by ship or something?
Exactly.
Like,
do you have to have a private yacht to get there? Schools. That, and then also I thought it was weird where they were like, we demand a mandatory first year orientation session about intellectual elitism and classism. So why is that mandatory? Why? Just to be like, oh yeah, there are classes and you need to learn which one you're in versus like, oh, you're smarter than other people. Therefore you're elite. You're in like the top.
You know what I like about this though? Like, so towards the end, they say, this is the gist. They're saying, we're going to throw a fit, but there can be no consequences. So in the end, they're like, anybody who sits in and protests this, there can't be repercussions. So they're on top of their little fit that they're throwing, they don't want consequences for that either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like,
you have choices. Don't go here.
Yes, exactly. This is a privilege. And so, you know what I'm saying? You can go to a community college and get.
Sure.
Trade school.
You can do an internship at a business and learn more than you're going to learn at Sarah Lawrence. Exactly. Well, I should say learn more, something useful versus going to Sarah Lawrence.
You chose a private college.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, money grows on trees. You know, do they have good intentions? Yes. I mean, it is expensive. Would it be nice for it to be free? Yeah, of course. Reality is not that, though. You know what I'm saying? Reality is things cost money. Nothing is free.
So,
and it's a good thing that that shit costs money, because then that gives you that shows the value of it. Right. When something is free, you don't take care of it. You don't value it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why capitalism.
But also
is the way.
Extended education was free. How many people do you think right now are basically just buying their education? Would you say? I mean, look at the whole scandal with the celebrities where it's like, oh, I'm going to buy my way into a college. Dude, so I think there needs to be a happy fucking balance.
There is $1 trillion student loan debt.
Oh,
trillion.
Yeah.
Dollars.
It might be even higher than that.
So it's and that's what the government knows about, right? I mean, that's what's owed to the government. There's then people who take out, you know, private
second mortgages on their houses, all kinds of stuff.
It's just too expensive. I'm with you there that colleges have gotten ridiculously expensive.
Oh God, yeah.
And there needs to be something that needs to be done, but it's coming out and saying, oh yeah, everything should be free. Well, no.
No.
You're saying because that's the
but
other
extreme.
But I also
no longer think that it's based on intellect anymore. I think it's based on, can you pay for an education versus, because they're also making you learn bullshit that you're never going to use in the real life. Like what, if I'm going to go to med school, why the fuck do I need to learn calculus? But it's still a mandatory part of it. Mm-hmm. It's just basically you're trying to prove yourself to be like, yeah, I'm smart enough. But then the people that go to school for that, I can tell you how many freaking doctors I've witnessed that have no human empathy and no, it's one of those people that the professors that you see in school where it's like, oh, you're really fucking smart, but you have no way of relaying it and you have no human interaction. You have no real work ethic because everything was just always in your head.
Right.
So you don't understand like the process that other people need to learn. It's more, I don't know.
Well, most education now isn't really brick and mortar. You know, it's online.
Yeah.
So you're not really learning how to communicate or deal with other people. You're right in front of your computer screen. That's how you learn.
Has anybody taken an online college course?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's a factor that you're not, since you're not in a classroom with other people, that it's
I think it plays a part. I honestly think it plays a part.
Dude, you know what? The honest truth is that you're right, dude. All of that can be done online. And even there are courses that like all these Ivy League schools put online for free.
And yeah. I'm serious. Was it Khan University?
Khan puts a whole bunch of stuff online.
The guy basically his niece or something was having a problem with her math homework. So he made a quick little YouTube video and uploaded it because she was, you know, in a different state somewhere. And he put it up on YouTube so she could watch it and explain how to do math. And other people started seeing it and they started commenting like, you know, hey, can you do one on this? And can you do one on, you know, the Great Gatsby or whatever, right? And he just, there's this whole catalog of classes that you can do online for free through the Khan University.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, honestly, if you can take those courses, you can learn it, but you're not going to get a degree.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, what's the degree going to do? It's going to sit on your wall in a little...
Yeah, but you know, I mean, like, whether we like it or not, employers use that as a way to validate whether or not, you know.
What a degree means to me is that you'll just work to complete something. Mm-hmm. They want to see that you'll complete something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you follow through with it.
Right, exactly.
Okay. But, you know, there's lots of jobs out there where you don't need an education. Like, we're in IT, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Peter principle? There's a principle that says basically anything that's new in the IT industry now in 18 years or in 18 months, it'll be old technology and they'll have something new that replaces it.
Yep.
So you figure if you spend 4 years in college, the stuff you learn in your first year is already obsolete by the time you're in your third year.
Right.
So it's like, well, what's the point in getting a degree for IT? Just get an internship at a company, let them teach you what's going on now. Get on board, you know, you got to commit, you got to be willing to learn it. But going to school for IT I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know,
School for a lot of things are, because I think most things are learned by experience.
Exactly.
Same as like with most education, I wish it wasn't necessarily that you would have to like write papers and do all this other stupid bullshit. It was, these are the tests. Like one of the doctors I work under, when he decided to become a doctor, like they have a test that you basically have to take once you become a doctor, like after you finished your degree and everything, and you have to pass this to basically like pass the board. He took it before he went to school to become a doctor and he passed it, but then he still had to go through the rigmarole of all of med school.
See the college wants to get their money.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. They want you to take the courses. You should be able to test out of that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, why can't that be a thing?
It should be a thing.
Well,
that's how you fix college.
Back to the commitment part, right? If you go through the medical program, it shows that you're willing, you can commit to it and that you will work through it versus I'm just smart and I just passed all your stupid tests.
But then what's the difference between people that are just good at school and people that are actually hardworking and willing to put in the work for the actual patient? I think a lot of people are really good at going to school, like you said, like people that just stay in school forever because they're good at like taking tests, they're good at like studying, they're good at writing papers, and then once they get pushed into an actual career, they're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
Oh, you mean I have to clock in?
Yeah. Oh, the second you have to clock in is... totally different.
I have to report to somebody.
You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what I've seen, most of the people who I know who have degrees don't work in the field of their degree.
That is so true.
It's always something else.
I have an engineering degree and I work on computers all day sending emails. Yeah. So
my sister has a degree in music and now she's a dispatcher for a police department. On some level, I feel like education is a waste of money. Like if you go to music, if you're talented or you're not.
There are certain occupations where you need the schooling, right? Doctors is a good example.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be an architect or something like that, you need to understand the strength of the materials that you're working with, things like that. But you
said it right, Jeremy. An apprenticeship, you get those skills. Mm-hmm. By just doing that.
Yeah. Carpentry. You get a job on a a job site and you know, the guy next to you shows you, you know, this is how you do this. This is how you do this. Right. This is how you put up a wall. This is how you hang a door. This is how you put in a window. This is how you put plumbing. In insulation, yeah. Drywall, plumbing. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Electrical.
My brother, you know, he does electrical.
Okay.
And he would get jobs, you know, like from people like, hey, can you run whatever, electricity, whatever. I went with him one hot summer day to
those are the jobs, best.
And I'm running cable. Man, I'm like, I'm dead. No,
yeah, you're done.
Not doing this shit. It's too hot.
Right.
Be and out just, there in the sun.
A lot of the, let's face it. Job. There are a handful of jobs that require college degrees. Right. And there's, I would say probably 7,000 times more jobs that don't require a degree at all. So why are we pushing these kids to go to schools mm-hmm. that they can't afford?
Right.
That the
dude. Okay. So money. I used to, as part of work, you know, you mentor kids. And, you know, everybody around them is telling them, go to college, you know, right. Straight from high school, go to college. And I would tell them, look, here's what the advice that I'm going to give you. Listen to everybody around you. Everybody around you is going to tell you to go to college. And maybe that's for you. But this is what I would recommend. I say, work for a year. Go find a job anywhere and learn how hard it is to earn a dollar. And then if you still, you know, if you're like, okay, well, I need to get some education in order to be able to have a job where I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so this kid that I was mentoring, I did that with, you know, he, they're troubled kids. Right. And I told him how to, you know, go get a job. And so he goes to work at a Jack in the Box. I think it was a Jack in the Box. One of the fast food places.
Sure.
And then years later, because I kept in contact with him through Facebook and whatever, and maybe a year later, he calls me on a Sunday afternoon. He's like, hey, Nelson. And I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? And he's like, I need a favor to ask you. And I said, what's up? And he's like, can you come to Walmart on such and such street and come pick me up? And I was like, sure. He's like, can you tell them that you're my uncle?
Oh.
And I'm like, tell who? And I was like, well, when you get here. So I get there. Yeah, I get there. And, you know, he's trying to steal something.
Right.
And, you know, they have them. The cops are there, you know, whatever. And, you know, I get there and the cop's like, so you're his uncle. And I'm like, look, no, I'm not going to lie. You know,
right.
I told him, no, I'm not his uncle. This is how I met him. I met him through this program, you know, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And he's like, okay. So he's like, look, we're just going to scare him a little bit. You know, teach him a lesson.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it twice.
So, you know, he wasn't even 18 yet. And like he was months from being 18. Anyway, so they let him come with me, and he's like, that's a great program. The cop himself says, hey, I also volunteer and do that stuff, so I understand.
Cool.
And then so the kid, you know, I'm taking him back, you know, to his place, and he's like freaked out, you know. And I told him, look, man, this right here, a few months from now, if you would have done this shit, you ruined your life. That's on your record. That's permanent. Right. I said, so right now you have an opportunity. You either change the way that you're doing these things and not thinking things through, or you're going to end up in a bad path. Yeah, anyways, long story short,
hard, long life.
Yeah. He's bawling his eye. You know, he's crying. Right. He's like, you know, and whatever. And I told him, look, here's the deal. This is the only time I'm going to do this. If you call me again for any type of this shit, I'm not coming.
Right.
And so anyway, so he turns his life around, man. He worked his way up. Within 2-3 years, he was the manager, and you know, now he's married. You know, so he
good deal.
Yeah,
good
he's deal. He's
how long ago was this?
Oh man, 6 years ago.
6 years.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, like, there's also like a difference between like going to school and having like a real work ethic. Like, yeah. For me, like, I moved out when I was 17. And I lived with my brother, and I worked 3 jobs when I was 17, including dancing on a bar for a while. When I was underage, and it was illegal. Yeah.
Wait, what were you doing?
You didn't know this?
No, what the heck?
Yeah.
Dancing on the bar?
On the bar.
On the bar.
Yeah, and I would like pour shots down like guys' mouth, heck? Like when I was 17 years old.
What's the statute of limitations on something like that?
It's illegal. It's absolutely illegal at the time, but I was doing what I was told. to try to pay for rent and try to pay for school and try to pay for, I had a truck that I was starting with a screwdriver. That, and it wasn't even like necessarily
was it your truck?
It was mine.
Okay.
I bought it for $1,000 from my dad when I was 15-ish. After my sister totaled it, fixed it up completely. Like, but for a while it would be, I would have to unlock the door, turn on the battery, grab a screwdriver, connect the current on the solenoid for it to start. Mm-hmm. Like if it was raining, I would literally wear rubber gloves because I was horrified. I was going to get electrocuted to death. Okay. Shut the hood, get in my car and drive off. But it's also like, I would try to go to school, but then of course, like when work came to the like issue of like, do you go to school or do you go to work? I need to make money. Like
right.
If work needs me, I'm going to choose that over it. Ultimately, my work ended up paying for my school and I went to trade school and now I make more than a lot of the patients that I see.
Yeah,
sure.
And they have college educations and all these other things. And it's just like they work in finance or
yeah, they have $100,000 worth of debt
whatever.
For that.
Exactly. Not even outside of that. Like it's just insane to me that it's like, if you were able to make yourself valuable in situations that most people aren't, it ends up paying off in the end.
Yeah, I could see that.
If you just bust your ass. And granted, like, I've had a lot of jobs that, like, aren't great.
See,
but
I think struggle is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's required.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
you have to have...
To struggle to obtain something that you like... That's the, what is that word, the archetypical story, right? That is something that you, that everybody needs to do. It's a rite of passage.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? No goal worth attaining.
Yeah, the human soul and body needs something to push against.
Exactly.
You can't just,
and when you get it for
free,
do you
things.
See what I'm saying? Like there's no value in that.
Right. You need to have resistance.
Did you guys remember that thing that I sent you? What's that guy, the chef's Ramsey, is that? The guy,
yeah,
the, Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, with his kids.
Did you see?
Yeah. I saw it on Wendy.
Gordon Ramsay, he basically tells his kids, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to fucking work. This is my money.
Yeah.
Do you see right. what I'm saying? He's like, he's not going to share that money, and they're like angry because he won't share the wealth.
Yeah. Where like if they fly anywhere. He'll fly in first class and he'll put his kids in coach.
Coach, put him in the baggage compartment.
No.
I love that idea.
You're going to go in your kennel and you're going to be stowed.
I'm gonna get on American Airlines. You guys are flying Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do they even pass peanuts in there?
Spirit?
Yeah.
You got to pay for them.
We flew Spirit once because it was like a serious last minute thing and they were like the only ones.
You were desperate.
And to tell you the truth, I didn't have a problem with it. It was super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And we were flying to Colorado, Denver, I think. And it was just, you know, you got on the plane, you didn't, it was no frills or whatever they call it, but it was fine. You know, you're only on the plane for an hour. You get off the plane and you're where you want to be. And mm-hmm. So I was like, why not?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
It's cheap. I mean, it's. I was going back to this, man. Capitalism. They right. are fulfilling a need that's out there in the market. And what's that need? You're desperate. You'll take whatever. Right. Spirit. There you go. That should be their slogan.
Are you desperate? We're Spirit.
The exactly. 3 out of 10 in dating.
Exactly.
Do you have nothing else? Well, yeah. Here's a 3.
The nobody responded to my text, so yeah. We'll go with you.
Exactly.
No, right. I just go by myself. Thanks.
When you cast a net and you get a minnow, you take it.
Yeah. you don't throw it back, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The moped of the of the airlines. Hey, sorry. Anyways, all right. I know you had another one that's
yeah,
actually pretty cool.
So apparently, I don't know if you guys have heard about this Impossible Burger. So apparently, there's a company out in Silicon Valley that's making what they're calling meat-free hamburgers. They're making it out of, I think they call it plant meat, which is a contradiction in terms, if you ask me. But so anyways, they decided they're selling it to Burger King. So they're going to make the Impossible Whopper.
Yeah. Well, Impossible is the what?
That's their brand. That's like the brand of the sub-meat substitute.
I mean, testimonials say that it's tastes exactly
so
like.
I've heard
but I hate when people say that because
it's not true.
Exactly, because I like meat and when I'm gonna taste that it's not gonna be good. It bleeds. What the?
Yeah, so I've bought the meat before at Sprouts.
Really?
Of course, you know, the huge. because I just wanted to try it. But like literally, so it's like meat patty. And when you cook it, like it literally looks like blood is coming, like you'd be cooking like regular ground.
You said you bought this at a grocery store?
Yeah, it's really expensive.
Yeah, so that's one of the things is they think they're going to end up charging $1 more
because
because for the Impossible Whopper versus the regular Whopper. And the guy who was writing the article did a little video and he did a taste test. He actually went to Burger King. He ordered 8 Whoppers, 2 regulars, 2 without cheese, 2 with cheese and no meat, and then 1 with no cheese and no meat. He took them.
He ate all of them?
No. What he did is
say that again.
It was already messed up.
Do you want a Coke with that?
You want a Diet Coke? So he takes it to the Impossible Burger manufacturing place, and they have the same exact broiler that Burger King uses. They throw a couple of the burgers in there, the ones that they're actually shipping to. It's a Burger King, and the guy builds his own, and he goes through he shows everybody, this is what it looks like versus the real meat. Mm-hmm. He tastes it, and he's all, you know, the best thing about this is it's unremarkable. He's all, it tastes just like a regular Whopper. It's like, well, if it tastes just like a regular Whopper, why am I spending $1 more for it?
Because you're saving the animals.
Because it's plant-based.
That way the cows don't fart.
It's less cholesterol.
The cow farts.
Let's not get into that.
No, you know, here's the deal. That stuff's coming. You know, they're going to make products that are not derived from animal, and it's going to taste as good. But
well,
is your, so for example, like when you eat steak, right? Is part of the flavor knowing that it was an animal?
No, it's in the blood.
No, it's
what do you think blood. It is? Like when, because you everybody here eats steak, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, if people had to slaughter their own cows, it'd be less likely that they would eat. You know what I'm saying? The burger or the steak or whatever. They wouldn't want to go through all of that work.
Exactly.
So
well, capitalism.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. The reason we don't is because we don't have to.
Right.
Yeah, no, think about it.
But at the same time, we are becoming less skilled in knowing. Because if the apocalypse hits today, a lot of people don't know how to plant crops. A lot of people don't know how to, you know what I mean? Like,
garden, chickens.
I don't know. Like, it's similar. Like, is it just that people are afraid of death in general? Is that, like, why people don't want to eat animals, or is it like necessarily like the way that they're treated beforehand?
I think if you
raise your animal and you kill it humanely and you use every part of it.
Yeah, I've heard lots of people that come through that line. They don't necessarily have a problem eating meat, but they would prefer that the animal that they do eat was killed humanely, right? It wasn't on some, you know, concrete floor all of its life, walking around, you know, eating out of metal bins or whatever. You know, they want the animals to be treated nicely, whatever, well, and killed humanely. And so there's lots of companies out there that do that. A lot of the, like mail order places, there's like, I think it's a Butcher Block, and, there's a couple of them out there that basically they track the animal. They say this, your meat, your steak came from cow. It came from this family farm in this city.
This cow's name was Bertha.
Exactly. Well,
it goes exactly back to what you're saying. Yeah. While you're eating it, are you thinking about?
Yeah. Are you thinking about Bertha?
He was in the grassy knoll.
Yeah. You're
like, briskly walking around.
It's like,
playing sports with his friends.
Play sports. Yeah. Get out of here.
What kind of sports do they play?
We're the top of the pyramid, man.
Water polo. I think they're water polo. Yeah. Cows will be water polo kind of creatures.
But also in general, like death is a part of life. It's something that, but also like humans as a whole have become like completely detached from it. So it used to be like when people would die, like they would put them in their parlor, which later turned into a living room because it was meant for people that were living. But people used to like keep their dead loved ones in their house for a certain period of time because they wanted to be able to like adequately mourn it and be around it and be a part of it. And nowadays it's like, nope, take it. I don't want to even see whoever I know that's died.
Some cultures, they do that, dude. They dress their dead and they just like walk them around. Like it's weird.
And that's how it's been for like centuries.
And it's really only. String.
Yeah. And no, dude, they're carrying them around.
Oh,
like,
they carry them.
Yeah. Like, you know, what is that? What was that movie? Weekend at Bernie's.
Like,
I'm dead serious. Like, they dressed him up and then, like, carried him
around. Yeah.
It's the weirdest.
But it's like, really only in like recent years that people have become so afraid of it. And so, like, and it's because of, I don't know if it's, like, because of their own mortality that they're afraid of. It's to, like, if they look at their loved one, they're like, oh, my God, that could be me later. But it used to be that it was, like, more of, like, a beautiful, like, you're always, like, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. Instead, they just push them onto, like, coroners and they're like, get rid, do whatever you need to do with it, instead of being like, oh, this is somebody that, like, I want to be able to cherish them being here. Instead, they just push them onto other people because they don't want to have to deal with it, and because they don't want to have to be the person that does that. And it used to be something totally normal that it's like, oh,
I get what
they were always here.
Would you be willing to try that for an extra buck? Would you try it for an extra dollar?
Be a coroner? Or the meat.
The Whopper.
The patty. Would you try it for an extra dollar?
Yeah.
So if you liked it, right?
Yeah.
And you enjoyed it, are you going to continue to pay that extra dollar?
No, because...
Is it going to be a one time, I tried it, I liked it, I'm good?
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Especially if it tastes exactly the same or very similar to the one that's a dollar less. Why
you would spend the money?
Yeah. I wouldn't.
Now, if it was cheaper,
right,
you know, by a dollar, would I replace it? Whenever go? Maybe. If it tastes the same, why not?
Well, it's kind of like the Jack in the Box tacos, right? You can go to Taco Bell and get a taco for 99 cents, or you can go to Jack in the Box and get two of them for 99 cents. Dude, there's no meat in the Jack in the Box one. It's all soy.
I was going to say, I thought it was like some other weird mixture.
Yeah, it's like, dude, a soy
I have
product.
A story of getting the wrong burger, right? Okay, so I'm on a date with this girl, and I went to this Italian, I think it was Italian, but... Okay, listen.
And you got the wrong burger? You know,
yeah, listen.
You went to the wrong restaurant.
Well, no, hold on. I swear, they had like portobello.
Mushroom burgers.
Burger, right?
Yeah.
I did not know what a portobello was, right? So then I was in the hamburger section, right? At that time, I didn't mushroom, you know? I'm like, okay, well, what is this? You know, and I liked everything else that was on it.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I guess it's the type of meat. I don't know. I was...
Like an Angus naive, or...
Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah. That's what, exactly. Okay. So I'm here on this date with this girl. And I order...
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I can see this going south.
It was
south
terrible. Real it was quick. Really bad. Real so then, oh, you know, God. I see this burger and I'm like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, I didn't even know that you... like. I'm like, oh, yeah.
You're very progressive. She's like, oh, he's so progressive.
First bite had to be crazy.
No, dude. It was so slimy. Oh, God. It was terrible. So I take a big bite and I'm like... And I was like, okay... This is not, oh my God, what is this, right? Now I realized my mistake. I was like, oh shit, this is not even meat, this is fucking mushroom. And I'm like, how am I going to get out of this? Because I was not going to finish that, right? And she's like, is it okay? And I'm like, no, something's off with it. So then I'm like, you know, I call the waitress over and I'm like, something's wrong with my burger. Can I get something else? You know? And she's like, well, what's wrong with it? Tell me. And I'm like, I wanted to say,
there's no
it's
meat.
Slimy. There's no meat. You know, my motto, if there's no meat, you didn't eat, you know? So it was terrible.
What is that?
That's my motto. There was no meat, you didn't eat. Anyway, so I returned it and she was like, well, that sucks that, you know, you didn't like, I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah. Never again. Every time I see portobello, anything, so like
instant turn off.
Yeah. Mushrooms. Even the idea of mushrooms, how they
seriously?
Yeah, ew,
I can eat
a fungus.
Them like apples.
Or what is it? It's a fungus.
It is a fungus. Oh, fungus. The same as yeast. And you use that for bread.
Bread, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like hidden somewhere in there. Not like, you know, oh, it's a fungus right on my...
What do you think makes it rise?
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
So I don't know how many of you saw April Fool's Day was a couple days ago, and apparently Elon Musk released a rap video.
Oh, Jesus okay. Christ.
It's called R.I.P. Harambe.
Should I play this?
If you can play it, man.
Let me see.
This is great.
Let me see what. Hold on. All
right. Yeah. So, from all people, Elon Musk, right?
Is this hip rapping?
This is Elon Musk rapping.
Wow.
Auto tune.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Salty Show. You were just listening to R.I.P. Harambe by Elon Musk. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to cover Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez. So we'll just have to leave it there. We'll see you guys again next time.
Adios.
Adios. Peace out.
Ayo. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, bye.